Just greetings to each one this morning in the precious and worthy name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. The one that we love, the one that loves us, and the one that helps us to understand what Norman is trying to tell us through Psalms 1. That we need to be one with him, not involved in the ungodly world, and steer clear from friends that are not living the Christian life. And so praise the Lord for his goodness this morning. It's good to be here for you, with you, and for you. I'm going to preach of the riches of Christ, share the riches of Christ and what he has done for us. And of course, we certainly appreciate the encouragement on the bulletin this morning, and the privilege that is ours as far as being here this morning without any fear of our government, without any, I hope, are any things in our heart that would hinder us from really enjoying and appreciating and reaching out to our good God, who even when he chastens us, it is his goodness. It is his goodness that he wants us to keep on course with him on that straight and narrow way. Yes, like Norman said, we were at the funeral of our dear brother, a brother that was very concerned about our situation here a number of years ago. He was very interested. And of course, I learned to know him before that, as far as that's concerned. But it was such a pleasure. And I wish we could all really be interested. I know we've got, all have work to do. We all have things to see after. But when it comes to serving the Lord, let us be there and let us realize that it is of his mercies that we are not consumed. For it Jeremiah's Lamentations in chapter 3, verses 22 to 25. It says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. Sometimes we think, and I hear people say, well, where was the Lord? You know, why can't I do this and why can't I do that? But he is compassionate. He is a compassionate God, and his mercies are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. You know, he goes on and says, the Lord is my portion. How many of you have thought about this morning and have met the Lord on your knees or in prayer, whatever posture you had, that, Lord, you are my portion. I am not of myself, I am yours. We are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The Lord is good to them that hope in him. The Lord is good to them that trust in him. And the Lord is good for them that wait on him, the soul that seeketh him. Oh, may our souls be involved in the Spirit of God and in our spirit, that we are following him, that we are seeking him in issues. Brother Lauren mentioned a number of issues that he has at times. But we need to simply seek him in those issues. We need to seek the Lord. He has an answer for us. He has a way out of something that, and of course, if we come to him and we repent, we confess our sins and repent, we will have peace. And we will continue to seek the Lord and walk with him. Oh, the goodness of God and the greatness of God. And, you know, Christ is our Redeemer, and he is our friend, and much more than that. He redeemed us. He saved us. Let us not be careless. Let us not kind of wander away. Let's abide in him and he in us. My wife wrote out a little exclamation here that I'm going to share with you. One of the main reasons we lose our enthusiasm in our Christian lives is because we let what was once a miracle become common to us. People slad back. You know, there's others where they have I can't get it now anyhow. But anyhow, they just kind of slad on back, and then you know there's something wrong. There's something going kind of awry. And so finally they just slide on out the door. We find that among our non-Mennonite friends, and I think there's some Mennonites are actually kind of sliding. And may God help us to continue to seek him. The Lord is good to all those that wait on him and the soul that seeketh him. Let us continue on in him and move forward. Yeah, we get so accustomed to God's goodness, it becomes a routine. And it can. We get involved in our work. And we get involved and we lose out in our Bible reading and our whatever, you know. You know what I'm talking about. So, anyhow, well, I'm going to teach some a story form like Norman was talking about. But this is not just a story. It's not a fiction book. It is a chapter out of the Bible that involves you and I. Because Jesus Christ is our resurrecting power. He is our courage. And he is our He is the perfect example of our walk with him in life. He is our perfect example. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Minister and brother friend Andrew Miller, Jonathan's father, taught me that verse while I was a little boy, waiting to grow up. He quoted that so often when he got up to preach a message. And one of the other Psalms is Psalms 103. And I suppose a number of you could quote that. I wish you could, anyhow. But anyhow, turn with me to John chapter 11. We have been in several visitations of people that passed on. One brother that was talking with his wife, wasn't feeling good, and she asked him, "Are you going to die?" And she said, "Well," he said, "I don't know, but I may." And very little time lapsed, he said, "God be merciful unto me, a sinner," and passed away. That was Brother John Hostetler. I don't know, you probably don't know him, but many of you do know some of those Amish Mennonite people. Brother Eli went about the same way with his wife. When they hadn't even got up yet when he mentioned that if I may share this, Eli was helping. He laid his hands on Morris Yoder. He was ordained last Sunday evening. Eli was there, but on Friday evening, he was to have a devotional at the service, but he called Brother Irvin and said he's not feeling well. Something has happened. It's just different. I just don't feel good. But on Sunday evening, he was just as bright and energetic as they wouldn't even have thought that anything was wrong. But early Monday morning, he laid over, passed, was gone. And we rejoice in this. Not that Naomi's by herself now, but we rejoice in a person when he goes home to be with the Lord. And the resurrection will come, maybe sooner than we think. Maybe God will come. Let's just continue to take courage and walk the believer's walk. Let us press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And be partakers of those unreachable riches of Christ. Philippians 3:4 has that verse. And so if we have true faith, if we have love, born of the Spirit, if we have a hope, coming of Christ, the coming of Christ, and a hope, that motivates us to live and walk with Christ, to be motivated, a faith that works, a love that labors, and a hope that endures unto the end. May God help us. Norman made mention about missionaries and so forth, but we all need to realize, some people say they're not missionaries, but they're an example of something, either of things of the world, or they are intent in following the Lord Jesus Christ, and they are a disciple of Christ, showing forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Well, I'm going to go on here with chapter 11. John chapter 11. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and his sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent it to him. He sent it to the Lord, said, "Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." And when Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but of the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified." Now Jesus knew what was going to happen. Jesus knew that this sickness this is to bring glory to his name. And now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now why did Jesus not just pick up and go? Why didn't he... He was in Judea. No, excuse me. He was somewhere else. I'm not sure where he was. But then he said, well, he told his disciples, let's go on down to Judea. Well, the point I see here is, Jesus delayed this. It was a divine delay. And have you ever had divine delays, or we just don't look at those delays. When you want to go through Atlanta, Georgia, with millions of cars in about a 6 or 7 lane road, and they're inching on. We don't know. But some of these things are divine delays. And we need to take that in consideration instead of getting upset. Think, well, why don't they get out of here, you know? But be patient. You have need of patience so that after you have done the will of God, you may inherit the promise. So Jesus wasn't in a hurry. But he knew what God had in mind for him. And I'm sure God knows why we get delayed at times. And seems like as long as they inch on a little bit, but when they stop and sit there for an hour, that's one of the longest hours we have. It just seems that way. But we need to realize, let's realize and remember that term, divine delays, when you get into those situations. God has something for us. In verse 7, let's see, where was I? Let's go with verse 5. And now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Lazarus, and when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, let us go unto Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late thought to stone you. Why? Why do you want to go thither again? Well, now that's another encouragement that we can give. Jesus was encouraged. He was a great encourager. And he says, Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. And these things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. Jesus had a personal mission in this situation. Then said his disciples to him, Lord, if he sleep, it will be well with him. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of the taking of a rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. He was gone. That's when a person dies like John, Brother Eli did, we think, well, that's a nice way to go. Not much suffering at all, and just blackout, and the spirit is gone. The sorrow, of course, of parting is something that we deal with. Okay, I'm going to go on here. But let's remember that Jesus had the courage to go, even though the disciple says, you don't want to go up there. But Jesus had in mind to have something greater happen than that. And he goes on and says in verse 15, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. And then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now we understand that. When John Hostetler died, it was our good friend Clifford's brother and his wife Eunice text Louise and says, we just got the word that John passed on, and we're getting ready to leave and go. I had to think of Mary and Martha's friends too, to go to be with them, to share this parting of husband and wife. And that's the way we would do. I remember when Samuel's son, Keith, fell over and passed on in school that morning. We just got things ready, and we left, even though we had a two-hour drive. It's just something about us. When we love the Lord and love his children, we just want to do all we can. And that's what these people did too. So in we'll go on with verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out to meet him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. But she says, I know. Notice that. She had confidence. She was a true friend of Jesus, and Jesus loved them, and he spent a lot of time. Well, I say a lot of time. I don't know how much time he spent in visitation. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou shalt ask of God, God will give it thee. And then Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. And she says, oh, you know, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection of the last day. But Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Notice that, and we want to remember that. He is the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Did you notice that already? Do you really realize that? Do you know that if we die in Christ Jesus, we're going to die living. We're going to die living in Christ Jesus. Won't that be wonderful? Amen. Amen. Looking forward to that time. So, then he had a question. Do you believe this? Do we believe that? Of course we do. We believe that. That whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ that should come, the Son of God, that should come into the world. Well, Martha made three expressions there. She says, I believe that thou art the Christ. She believes that she is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. And he was supposed to come into the world, that one that should come into the world. She was aware of what Jesus was here for at that time with her. So, and when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then that were there with her in the house comforted her. When they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth into the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit, and was troubled. Notice the sympathy that the Lord Jesus had. And he says, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. He was very sympathetic, with a divine sympathy. And I believe when we have issues, when we get into trouble, I believe he has sympathy for us too. He has great compassion. You know, his compassions fail not. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died. Jesus, therefore, again groaning himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and the stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. And Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been there 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou should see the glory of God. Martha had no idea. I don't think she had any idea, or Mary either, what Jesus had in mind. But let's remember, he said, the sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. We all know the story, how it went. But it is just so encouraging to read this portion of Scripture. And because of the funerals and during these times, and this came to my mind. What if the Lord would come back and just say, John, come out of there, or Eli, come out of there? Well, we don't look for that at this time. But we do look that, as Jesus said, that we have no continuing city here. We seek one which is to come. Young or old, there's so many young people passing on as well, in accidents and so forth. So we never know when our time is coming. So Jesus had a prayer. There, they took away the stone from the place, in verse 41 now, where the dead lay. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. What a glorious happening. I suppose Mary and Martha were just really excited. Maybe they couldn't hardly believe their eyes, but anyhow, he was accepted. He was alive. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. But some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. And you can read the rest of it. The rest of it, the time is here to close. But let us realize that we will be resurrected. It'd be nice if Jesus would come and we'd just all go. The whole church collectively in this world would be able to just move on and be with them. Amen. But we don't know. So let us be ready. Let us be pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Living in a love for God. Living in a love for our fellow man, the two greatest commandments. And have a faith that works, a faith that labors, and a hope that endures unto the end. Let's kneel for prayer.